you would turn to Matthew chapter 11. We or I guess I should say I, and I'm dragging you guys into it, are I'm about to start a series, and I have no idea how long it's going to be. It may be a very short series. It may be a very long series. I do not know. I know that I have three messages already, including today. But I wanted to share with you, I'm scared for several reasons. I've wanted to do this topic for a long time, and I was trying to think of how long. And there's a particular book on my shelf that I pulled off because I remember buying this book years ago and thinking, man, this would be a really good series topic to preach on. And I just have never done it. And I've looked at that book and looked at that book. So it's been over 20 years that I've wanted to do this. But I think it's providential because the 25 years of life, the last 25 years of life has taught me a lot. And it's time to do this. But so that's one reason, is that the topic is massive. Another reason is I'm not very good with topical messages or series. You give me a passage and say, can you teach us this passage or this chapter or this book? And I can plow all day long and work all day. I can dig it out and love it. And that's who I am. And that's how I'm built. That's how God has called me. And that is part of my ministry. So this is uncomfortable for me, and it's hard for me to do this. And I don't really like it. But I wanted to share this with you. But I have also been scared of subjects, before. I will tell you this. When we started Isaiah, I thought, honestly, I must be completely a madman to try to tackle Isaiah through 66 chapters. When I started John, the Gospel of John, I remember that took me 2.5 years to go through the Gospel of John. When I preached through the epistle, the Roman epistle, I was scared to death. So this is not an uncommon difficulty in my life. So, but there's another reason that the topic that we are tackling, or that I'm going to try by the grace of God to teach from, is a topic that is very difficult, and it is very broad, and you guys are not going to like it. And I'm not going to like it. And so when you have a topic that you don't like and I don't like, it's kind of a motivational killer. It's the topic of suffering. The title of this series is going to be The Grace of Suffering in Christ. The grace that we find in the suffering that comes in our lives. The grace of God that strengthens us, that builds us, that grows us. That's fertile ground for the gospel and for His word. the grace of suffering in Christ. This week has been crazy. I've been crazy busy. And Friday morning, it's a long story, but I want to share with you because this is the processes that your pastor goes through. But Friday morning, I had to take my aunt, my mom's sister, who I'm the only one that can help her. She had to run some tests at Tallahassee Memorial. So I woke up at 3 a.m, drove to Tallahassee, got her to the hospital by 6 to run these tests. Little did I know that TMH has been hacked by the Russians. And the FBI has taken over. Seriously, this is serious. TMH, and no doctors or nurses could access any information. And so everything had to be done by paper, hand, if you can imagine. And I didn't get home literally until about 1 o'clock Friday. And I was so anxious and filled because I had been studying and reading for a long time, and I was ready to sit down and write and work through things. And I was so anxious and worried and fearful. And I was like, Beth, I was a little short with people, my loved ones. And I just said, Beth, I need to be by myself with the Lord and just write. And in 3 hours of just, I just threw my phone. I don't even know where my phone was. And I wrote and wrote and wrote just things in my mind and in my heart. And as I was writing, I wrote so many pages. I didn't even know how many pages I wrote that when Beth started typing it out, she was like, honey, you're going to preach this in one message? She was like, you're going to kill us. And so I've broken it down into two. Probably it needs to be three, and it might be three. I'm sorry. You laughing, honey? Your dear pastor's wife was thinking about y'all. And so this is going to be a slight introduction to this, starting this series, and I want to share my heart with you. And more importantly, I want to share our Lord's heart with you on this issue of grace and suffering. This series, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I need help. We need help. To hear you, to understand your heart towards your children, to get it, to stop being so wounded and hurt by a broken and cursed world, to learn how to trust you, our Father, to learn how to know that you absolutely want our best, and you are going to do anything and everything, even dying on the cross for our benefit. Help us and forgive us for being spoiled children that just want it our way. Oh Lord, forgive us. And help us to love you In Jesus' name. Amen. This series is for those who are discouraged, who are frustrated, who are weary, the disenchanted, the jaded, the empty, the broken, the fragile, the bruised reeds. Those of you who are running on fumes, those who think in their minds, they think, how in the world can I keep my head above water? Those of us, I'm including me, who have told others about the love of Christ and the joys of life in Christ and the victories that only will come in Christ, yet find it hard most of the time to hold on to those beliefs yourself. Who have been swept off their feet by what Piper calls the personal tsunamis, the struggles and the sufferings of life, and wonder how to live victorious this side of glory. It is a series, in other words, for the normal Christian. Amen? For those of us who are not fake, for those of us who don't paint on a smile all the time, for those of us who need to get beyond themselves and just love Jesus. What is our Lord's view of our suffering? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever thought, what does the Lord think about what's going on in our lives? Or what has, right? What has gone on in our lives from past hurts and pains? What does the Lord think about the suffering in my life, in your life, in our life? What does he think about it? And how do we agree with him? Right? What is going on in our lives, or what has gone on in the past, and the past hardships and pains and brokenness? And what is he doing? And how do we agree and go, okay, Lord, I want to think about these things in my life like you think about them in my life, right? Wouldn't that be nice for us to agree with the Lord? You know that most of Christianity in America believes and holds to this false narrative that if anything bad or anything troubling or anything of struggle or strife that comes into your life, any of these things that happen, then it's evil and definitely not of God. You do know that, right? Hello? That's how the most of Christendom, especially in America, they believe that. But you need to know that Scripture does not teach that, and most of Christian history never taught that. Matter of fact, it taught the complete opposite. That these things come into our lives, these hardships come into our lives, believe it or not, because He loves us. He loves us that much that He doesn't leave us alone right? That He cares so much about us. That He brings us to our knees and shows us our neediness through our brokenness. There's one passage that I'm going to give you one point. There's so many points that I can do in these three verses that we're going to look at, but I've got 5 points written out, and that's just scratching the surface, but I'm only going to give you one point today. We're going to look at the rest next week. And we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray, and we're going to leave today, and we're going to pray about entering into this series. And whatever the Lord has, I'm going to just keep preaching until He's done with this series, okay? And we're going to find the grace of suffering in our lives. And we're going to grow. We're going to grow in our faith. And get ready. I tell the elders this all the time. Buckle up. Because the attacks are going to come. I thought about adding in my notes, invite somebody that's struggling. And I thought, no, don't do that. Because once they hear the truth, I want to say more accountable, but the Lord knows. And if you fit any of these categories, these thoughts, then I hope and pray you come and you go through this journey with me. We do it together. Amen. So this passage I'm going to read to you. It's in Matthew 11. It's a passage that you know so well. You have read it so many times, but I want to stop. I want to not just pump the brakes. I want to push on the brakes, and I want us to camp at this verse, this passage. I would like to tell you that this is going to be the wellspring of the whole series. And it might very well be, it is going to be the focus of the first three messages. Maybe the rest, that's up to the Lord. But I know that this is where the Lord has led me for now. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. This is what it says. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to understand this passage, I believe will help. It will help you. It will help us. It will give us motivation. And it should help us to get up. Like when somebody says, you know, what makes you get up every day, every morning? This passage should help you in that. Should give you a focus to say, hey, this is a reason to get up and to be excited. It's even a passage of a reason for you to daydream a little bit. To dream about the glories of our Father and how He cares for us and tends to us. It's a time for us to sit and bask, if you will, in our Heavenly Father's thoughts about us. Your heart in biblical terms, is not just part of who you are or your character, but your heart is not in part, but it is the very center of who you are. When you read passages of Scripture where it talks about your heart or what you should do with your heart, what Scripture is teaching is that image of your heart is your very soul, who you are, all of you. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says this. Don't turn there. Just listen. Write it down. 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When you see people react to certain things and how they react and their response and my response, like Friday when I was just so burdened and anxious and had so many different being pulled in so many different directions and so many different people depending on me. And I had a deadline. Listen, Sunday morning comes once a week. Do you know that? Rain or shine. And not that I don't have the freedom. I think I have it before you to get come up and say, guys, I'm sorry. It has never happened. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. But I was so anxious that out of my heart was springing short fuses. You know, am I the only one like that? Yes. That I was a little bitey. And, you know, and Beth said, listen, we're leaving. You just do what you got to do for how many hours and come back. Man, when I sat down, it just was pouring out of me. Our heart, from this proverb, is who we are. And in passages of Scripture that you look at and it talks about the heart, it's talking about the character of that person. Our heart is what defines us. It's what directs us. And I believe if we can understand these words in Matthew chapter 11 and our Lord's heart towards us, I think it can change us. I believe that. I believe God's Word can change us and change it by us understanding how He views us. It will change our hearts in living this Christian life. So I'm going to just touch on one point today. And then we're going to dive in. I mean, you come strapped up, ready to go next week. You hear me? Because we're going to dive in head first in the shallow and go way deep. But this is the first point. I am gentle. When Christ says, I am gentle, what does that mean? What is He saying to you and I? This Greek word only occurs in the New Testament in three other places. Now, you know, you may say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Gentle's all over. You're right. But not this specific Greek word. I'm going to give you the three places. One of them is not surprising at all, but the other two kind of help us define what he's saying here when he says, when Christ tells you and I, I'm gentle. Okay? The first one is the one that is should be of no surprise, and some of you may have already thought it, is in Matthew 5:5, the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I don't want to go into great depth, and I'm not going to into that, because I could preach a whole sermon just on that one word that Jesus was saying in the Beatitudes. But in this word, meek, is no sense in any way is he saying weak. That people misinterpret that all the time. Matter of fact, if you look at that Greek word and that the construction of Matthew 5:5, it literally means strength under control. That you have the strength to do something about it, but you are choosing to submit, to be meek, to hold back. The meek will inherit the earth. It puts a whole new spin on that meaning. The second time it's used is in Matthew 21:5. It's when Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. It's the triumphal entry. And that in 21:5, he's actually quoting Zechariah 9:9. He's quoting the prophet. And he's saying this, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly. That's the word, lowly. And sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So, do you see the image here? This word that's used in Matthew 5:5, and now this word that's used in Matthew 21, and the imagery of Christ coming into as the triumphal entry, and they're praising him, and they're saying, Hosanna, you know, and they're calling him king, and they're laying out all the palm branches and their cloaks, and he's lowly. On a donkey, strength under control. Yes, was he the king of Jerusalem? Absolutely. He's the king of the universe, right? Do you remember what they said to him? Tell these people to stop. Tell them stop praising and singing. And do you remember what he said? Yes. I tell you, if I tell them to stop, the stones will cry out. That's the creator of the universe, right? Do you see this image here of the lowly? There's one more, which I find very interesting. And I never connected this last passage, the points, until I was laying it out. And I was like, wow, there's so much truth in this one. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It's the passage about wives submitting to their husbands. I know that's a whole nother bad S word. Suffering and submitting, right? And in this passage, it reads, let me read it to you. Let it be hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty, amen? That means beauty that never goes away. That's That's a secret for women, right? With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle, there it is, that's the word, and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. And I was thinking about this, and I have dug and dug. I've read every commentary that I have on 1 Peter 3:4, because I was trying to connect these other three verses, the same Greek word, to that one. And I was thinking, wait a minute. This is what it's saying. Women, you want to have real power? Real power? Have a quiet and submissive spirit. For it's precious to the Lord. And you'll have power like you can't imagine. So women, you don't have to manipulate anymore. I thought y'all would laugh about that. Not that any of y'all do. I know the women here don't manipulate. Right? Okay. But a quiet and submissive spirit, this gentle spirit, which is very, the scripture says, very precious to the Lord. And so in these three other occurrences, along with Matthew 11, we see that Jesus says, I am gentle. He's saying he's humble, that he's meek. He's saying that he's gentle. But listen to this. You have to understand, and we will get to the rest of this passage next week, but he's saying it to his children. That he, though he runs the universe, though he has all the power, though he is the King, the Exalted One, the Mighty One, guess what? To you and I, he's lowly, he's gentle. You and I can run to him. In regards of dealing with us, he says, I am gentle. Jesus is not tired of me. Amen? He's not tired of me. He's not tired of you. He's not sitting there going, oh my goodness, again? He's not. He's a good dad. He's not a sorry dad. He's a good one. He's a good father. He's attentive. He is there. He provides. You may say, well, what about this time or that time? He doesn't have a short fuse like me, like you. Matter of fact, he doesn't have a short fuse like even the best of us. He's not trigger happy. Do you know what that is? He's not harsh or easily exasperated. This, get this. He is, I don't even want to tell, never mind. Where I got this thought from, I'm going to let you figure it out. When I was writing this sentence, I just was laughing to myself. But here it goes. Jesus is the most understanding of of our human condition. He understands you and I better than anybody else in all of creation. He is the most understanding, Jesus. His posture to his children. When we look at this verse, and we're going to get much deeper into it, but his posture, I wish we could just be here all day. I could finish it in a few hours. His posture to us, towards us, is not a pointing finger. But of open arms about our condition. He sees all things. He knows all things. There's nothing hidden. There are no surprises. There are no panic. A circumstance doesn't arise in our lives and he sits there and is panicked about what is going to happen. I want you to think about this and then we're going to close. This is it. Do you truly believe this? That Jesus knows you better and more thoroughly than anybody on the face of the earth? Do you believe that? Jesus knows my wife better than I know my wife. And I would even argue with Beth that I know Beth better than she knows her. I'm being serious. I know my wife better than she knows her. And I know my wife better than her mom and dad knew her. And I know my wife better than her sisters know her. I know my wife. And I don't know my wife like Christ knows her. And so when Jesus is saying here, I am gentle. That is with full knowledge of who you are. The full knowledge. There is nothing under the curtains or behind the curtains or under the rug or in a closet. Do you understand that? That when Jesus is speaking and he's using these words and he's saying in these verses, I am gentle, it is with full understanding of who you are. And I'm going to say it, okay? All the junk in your life. Matter of fact, as Hebrews says, that he fully, the extent of your junk, he gets it. And he says, I am gentle. You're going to hear these closing words many times during this series. Matter of fact, it might be the same closing that we have until this is done. But here it is. Embrace your struggle, your suffering, the pain in your life. Embrace it. Don't push it aside. Don't excuse it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to put lipstick on it. Don't try to point a finger about someone else. Because through this experience of embracing the struggles, the pain, the suffering in your life, you will find the grace of our Savior. I will never, ever forget the day we buried Joy Bout and all the pain that led up to that. And as we were standing by that grave and everybody was leaving, and David looked at me and he said, I guess this is the greatest opportunity of grace, growth in grace in my life. And I walked from that grave and thought, Lord, how you love him to take his child from him. Stop pushing it away. Stop being ashamed. Stop trying to cover it up. Stop being a fake Christian. Through our suffering, through your suffering, you will find the deep lessons of faith. You will find lessons of forgiveness that you could not imagine. You will find lessons of love that you would never otherwise get. You will find lessons of kindness, of truth, of freedom, lessons of freedom. This is who I am. This is what has happened in my life. And be free from the chains. Amen. Be free in Christ. Glory. You will find lessons of strength. And you, through all of these things, you will be conformed into the image of Jesus. He will press the image into you. Amen? This is it. One word for closing. I know you think I had a lot of words for closing, but this is it. Let's don't waste our suffering. Amen? Let's embrace it and find the grace of Jesus in it. Glory? All right. That's the intro. Aren't y'all excited? I mean, y'all are just bursting with excitement in here. It's like the air has been let out of the balloon. Or should I say, the air's been shot out of the balloon. No pun intended there. I love you guys. I'm scared, but I'm excited at the same time. I want to bring help and truth to you. I want to encourage you. I want us to be so strong that we can trust God no matter what is happening in our lives. Amen? Or what has happened. For us to go, I trust the Lord no matter what. Amen? So we're going to pray. And we're going to go and have fellowship together. We're going to sit down and we're going to eat and enjoy each other and enjoy each other's company. And our business meeting is not going to be long at all. But we're going to enjoy each other. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. And thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to love you most. Lord, help us as we start on this journey to dig deeply, to understand that You are such a good dad. And we trust You implicitly. Forgive us for being whiny babies, selfish, self-centered, insecure. Lord, help us to just trust You with every matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology and then go have lunch together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.